pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come before the people of God. I thank you, God, that we are hungry hearts and that we're hungry for your word, because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from you. God, I thank you for your living word. It's alive and active, and I thank you that we are prepared to hear and to listen and to see what you would have for us this day, Lord. May it get into our hearts and make us more like you. We ask in Yeshua's name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. My message today is Raise the Standard is the name of it. Raise the Standard. You know, the standard, by the way, is the Lord. There's something coming up May 25th that I'm going to get into, but I'm going to give you the definition of standard, first of all, so you know what I'm talking about. A standard is a flag indicating the presence of a sovereign official. That means one who rules completely. Amen? Another definition, an upright support or supporting part is the standard. Is God not our supporting part? He is all our support. Amen? And you know, the Bible says you do not support the root, but the root supports you, right?
Amen.
Amen. Everything that's built is built on the rock of Christ. And in horticulture, Pastor will appreciate this. He used to be landscaping and put, you know, horticulture, a plant trained or grafted to have a single erect tree-like stem. As a standard. That's very interesting to me. I can elaborate here. You know, it alludes to us Gentiles who are grafted in to the one main supporting stem. Amen? It's also described, a standard is described as a long candlestick or candelabrum used in a church. Is that not the menorah, folks? Amen.
Amen.
You know, our servant branch, the main branch in the center is the longest, stands above. And he shows you that if you serve him, he is the ultimate example of servanthood. And we need to learn how to serve God. And he is that example. Hallelujah. You can see by the definition of standard, it's referring to Yahweh God and not man. Amen? Amen. You know, I'm overcome with joy this morning because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen?
Amen?
And I thank God that He inhabits the praises of His people. And you can't help but praise God and get excited because He is an awesome God who reigns and rules in the hearts of man. Hallelujah. He is the bright and morning star who has brought light out of darkness this morning, this Sabbath day. Hallelujah. I thank God that He brings the light every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Let's go to Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. Isaiah 60. This is that morning star I was telling you about. This is entitled The Glory of Zion. It's Isaiah 60. We're going to read 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Hallelujah. You know, we're drawing closer to that light every day. In the Bible, it talks about in Psalms how the day will grow brighter and brighter as we get closer to Him. Amen? And we are to lift up His name. You know, His banner over us is love. Amen? We're to lift Him up. The joy of Him is our strength. I'm strong in Him this morning, and I draw all my strength from Him. We serve an all-powerful, perfect God, the Holy One of Israel. And He tells us in His Word that if our mind is stayed on Him, He will give us perfect peace. Hallelujah. How many of you want perfect peace? Perfect peace is shalom, shalom. That's all. That's peace of heart, peace of mind, peace of every kind, a complete body, mind, and soul. You have peace. Amen. In a world that is full of trouble and chaos and problems, we can have that peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Perfect peace. Turn to Psalm 119, 165. We're going to see another peace at work here. Psalm 119. The longest psalm in the Bible. It talks a lot about God's Word. God's Word is powerful. And it is not passed away. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
His law is not passed away. Psalm 119, 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble.
Woo!
Nothing can make them stumble. Hallelujah. You know, we sang that song earlier about the mountain, you know. And how we can say, be moved, and if we believe, it'll be removed. Amen? We need to stop telling God how big our mountains are. We need to tell the mountain how big our God is. Amen? And I know you've heard that before, but it's still good, and it's still there, and I love it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord tells us what to think on. I was talking about it being stayed on Him. You know, we don't have to worry about the devil much. He is a defeated foe. Amen? If you don't understand anything I say today, understand this. We don't have to worry about fighting an enemy who was already defeated. We just need to walk our spirit-filled, Torah-observant lifestyle daily, reinforcing his defeat. Did you hear me?
Amen.
We don't have to worry about fighting an enemy who was already defeated. We just need to walk our spirit-filled, Torah-observant lifestyle daily, reinforcing Satan's defeat. Of course, we will have trials, but we are overcomers, amen, by the blood and by the word of our testimony. And we have a greater God in us than he that's in the world. We don't need to think on the devil and what he's going to do. We don't need to worry about him. We need to just lift up our God, think on him, brag on him, point to him. Hallelujah. We need to be like the moon and just shine his light on other worlds. Amen? Hallelujah. We're just a reflection of him. Hallelujah. We thank God that he is the light. Hallelujah. And he draws us to him. In Philippians 4, he tells us what to think about. You know, we're supposed to think about things that are admirable, praiseworthy, lovely, true, noble, right, pure. These are the things we're to think about. A lot of people put too much attention on the devil and worry about what's he going to do next. You know, if you're walking a lifestyle, if you love God and you're obedient, you don't need to worry about the enemy. He is a defeated foe, as I said before. He's already God's already got the crown, and he's been expelled, and he's not coming back to reign at all. He won't even reign in hell because he's not a king. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's turn to 2 Peter 1. First of all, you know, I got on this little, on the side here, I have our minds that are stayed, not swayed. So our minds need to be stayed on Him, not swayed. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn to 2 Peter 1. Way back in the back here. Page 1261, if that helps anybody. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and goodness. Through these He has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Read those last four words. You will never fall. Hallelujah. We just read in that other scripture in Psalm 119 that nothing can make you stumble. Amen? People that love God's law. And you will never fall if you have these traits in you and you live them. Hallelujah. And you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. These are the traits that we want to have. Amen? We want to think on God. You know, I love that song, Let My Life Song Sing to You. It's how we walk out our lives that speaks and sings to God, lets Him know that we love Him. I'm tired of people talking about loving God, have the appearance of loving God, but don't have the power, amen? And don't walk according to what God would have them do. They're like Gene had read, that they're without restraint because they don't go by the law of God. They have no vision, amen? No revelation. And you have to have a vision or you perish. Doesn't the Bible say that? Amen. And if you don't have that, then you will throw off everything because you won't care about this life. But I tell you what, if you want to have life on the other side of this life, you better care now. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord, this is an evil day, is it not? But God gives us all the weapons we need. He equips us for war and He equips us to do good. He equips us for war, and He equips us to do good. Everything we need has been supplied, and the devil does not have a chance. Amen. I thank God that He is a mighty God, that the devil knows that, fears God, and fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
And if you want wisdom, all you have to do is go to Proverbs 4 and read that entirely. I suggest you read the Amplified Version. I have an Amplified Version at home because sometimes I don't hear, so I need it amplified. No. But it really expounds well, and it just keeps building up wisdom, and that is supreme. You know, knowledge is good, but it puffs you up, where wisdom builds you up. Amen? There's a difference. And we need to be humble, as our sister was saying up here, to humble ourselves. Who do we think we are that we would tell God how we are to be formed? We need those hearts of flesh that are pliable and not stiff-hearted hearts. We need to let God move in our life and form us and shape us. Let Him get His hands on us and do a pruning. Amen?
Amen.
I know it hurts sometimes. You don't like to be pruned, but in the end, you will grow. Hallelujah, and you'll grow more fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are an evil day. Turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Of course, it's about the weapons of our warfare. This is kind of a message on fighting the devil, but like I say, we don't need to worry about him. God gives us everything. Ephesians 6, we're going to read 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes... Isn't that what it says? Is this not the day of evil? We're going to be reading about that. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts, arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I need to be the watchman on the wall and declare God's word fearlessly. Amen?
Amen.
And he is coming soon. I wanted to read a little thing that I got off let's see, who's this from? I forgot. Oh yeah, Jerusalem Prayer Team. Okay. It says, I believe Jesus is coming very soon. Every Muslim leader has described the present Middle East crisis as the coming of Armageddon. The president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, told me that face to face when I met him in New York and arranged the Fox News Network interview. So even the Muslims are saying, you know, they believe that the end of the time is coming. But the Bible says in Matthew 24:36, of the day and hour, no man, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only knows the hour. Amen. When you see all these things, know that he is near, even at the door. That's Matthew 24:33. Folks, you know that the Lord is right at the door right now, and it could happen at any time. All signs point to a Middle East war against Israel. The march to Jerusalem has begun. Biblical prophecy is being fulfilled on the front pages of the newspaper. Jesus foretold that kingdoms would rise up against kingdoms. This is happening in the Middle East, obviously. If you listen carefully to the voice of the Spirit, you will hear the echo of eternity and a call from heaven to touch things beyond the grave. You will hear your spirit respond, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." The prophet Isaiah described our time as darkness covering the earth and gross darkness the people. He also declared, "The Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." That's Isaiah 60:2. We need to look up, for our redemption draws nigh. Amen. Amen. God is coming soon.
Amen.
But he has equipped us with all the weapons. If you notice what I read in Ephesians on the weapons of our warfare, it mentioned truth first. The reason that being, to show you how important doctrine is, you need to have the truth. And when you put the belt of truth on, it holds all the other weapons of your warfare in place. You know, you'd think it would be the helmet first, because you got to protect your mind. That's where a big part of the battle is, in your mind. But see, if you don't protect your vital organs, you don't have your belt of truth first buckled, and you have that breastplate protecting your major organs, your brain's not going to do you any good. You have to get through the battle first, do you not? It's always the physical first and then the spiritual. And the battle is in the mind. But if you'll notice, the helmet of salvation is listed second to last, I believe. It says, then the sword of the Spirit. And so we have to put on the helmet of salvation to protect our minds. But the main thing also is we need to have that breastplate and that shield of faith that, you know, that has that anointing in it, where when the arrows come, they go out. The fire of the enemy goes out. Amen? Hallelujah. It protects us from all the flaming arrows of the devil. And believe me, he's trying to hit us in our right where he knows we're susceptible. But God help us to know who we are. And if we know who we are, we know and have self-restraint, because we follow God's law. And we have a plan and a purpose that he has set out for us, that we are determined to walk. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn to, he also equips us to do good. Turn to Hebrews 13:20-21. Hebrews 13:20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He equips us with everything good. Amen. To do good, to do a good work. And He fights for us and protects us. But let's turn to 2 Timothy 3. Back to the day of evil. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. But mark this. 2 Timothy 3. We're going to read. I'm just going to read until I don't need to read anymore. How's that? But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. There's a lot of narcissism going around, folks. People that love themselves. They will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, which is, by the way, called apathy, which is a very bad thing, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. You know, that's talking about having a religion and not a relationship. What I like about being a Torah observant, spirit filled, is we have a relationship with the living God, hallelujah, that wants us to be with Him and sets it up where He gives us every opportunity to see Him, who He is, and you will, when you do, then you'll desire to be near Him. Amen? Hallelujah. He fights and protects us. Let's turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Hallelujah. I know you're not as slow as I am, so when I get there, I'm just going to start reading. Psalm 1, verse 6. For the Lord watches over all the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Tells you right there, God watches over us. Amen? Turn to us. We're in the same book. Turn to Psalm 55, 22. Psalm 55, 22. I'm good to y'all. I put these in order so you don't have to go back and forth different books. Psalm 55, 22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never leave. He will never let the righteous fall. Again, there we go again. The right, you will never fall. Amen. We read earlier, you know, that nothing can make us stumble in Psalm 119, 165. And then we read in 2 Peter how you never fall if you have those traits that I listed in 2 Peter 1. Verses 3 to 11. Hallelujah. Never fall. Turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. God is a lifter of our heads. Amen. This psalm starts out. Psalm 121. Lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at night. I'm sorry, your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep us from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. That's an awesome psalm. I love, we ought to memorize Psalm 121. So we know that God is for us, He's with us, He watches over us, and He gets us through. It talks about so many things in these verses. He won't let your foot slip, and He stays awake just to make sure you're going to be okay. And He will get us through, amen? He is our shade when we're, and He's our, He keeps us from things that harm us, amen? Hallelujah. Now go to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Verse 20, Psalm 145, 20. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. It pretty much tells it as it is, don't it? Don't need to elaborate on that. Go to the next Psalm, 146, verse 9. 146, 9. Probably on the same page. You don't have to turn the page. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but He frustrates the way of the wicked. Without a purpose and a plan that God established and you working in it, if you're not in that, you're going to be frustrated. But there are times even when we are persecuted, things like that, but it tells us that He gets us through all those things, right? So we are going to have a little bit of problem, but like I said, the devil's already defeated, so we don't need to, you know, worry about it. Go to Proverbs 2 and 12. Proverbs 2, 12. Very next book. Talking about wisdom here. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from the men whose words are perverse. You know, words do make a difference. We need to remember the words of God and stay with those. When we give counsel to someone, let's use the word of God and not what we think. Because, you know, they can argue with us, but they can't argue with this word. Amen? When you give them this, you know, you got to give it in love, though. You can't just shove it down their throat. You got to give it in love. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. We get excited. But turn to 1 Corinthians 1:8. 1 Corinthians 1:8. Amen. Hey, that's right. Hallelujah. I love to hear from the mouth of babes. Worship God. Hallelujah. And a little child shall lead them. 1 Corinthians 1:8. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that day is coming, and we want to be found blameless, do we not? And all that requires is to submit to God and walk in His ways, to look to Him for all your needs, all your strength. It's His power, it's His might that gets you through. It's nothing that we can come up with. Hallelujah. But He will keep you strong to the end. You know, I get excited about that because I'm closer to the end than some of y'all. Hallelujah. But the end could come at any time. He's coming back any moment. Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. And we're going to read verse 4. Even to your old age and gray hairs. Woo! Here I am. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Woo! Hallelujah. We're all looking for that rescue, amen, for Him to split that sky. And the new Jerusalem coming down. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. And He's going to sustain us. And He will rescue us. Hallelujah. Turn to 2 Timothy 4:18. 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. Woo! Right there. Write that down. Put that up in your bathroom when you get up in the morning. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. You know, it's all about Him. He is the author and finishing perfecter of our faith. Yes, sir. He's the one that gets us through. That's why our dependence is totally on Him. And we're going to get into something. I'm going to show you that man thinks that you know, that He is so hot and mighty, but I tell you what. To be broken, you know, We all need to have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, because God says He will not refuse those who have a contrite spirit. That means that you have a spirit that knows who your God is. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, don't let the devil turn the tables on you. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call good evil and evil good." We're in a day that people are calling evil good and good evil. I witnessed to someone. I sent something over the internet, and I thought it was, I didn't think it was so bad. Of course, I didn't analyze and break it all down, all of it. But I got a really nasty response. And I sent it in love, and I sent it because I thought it was something that we need to be aware of, that there is an enemy out there that's trying to subjugate this country. You know, that there is an enemy out there that would want to steal, kill, and destroy everything that America is. Amen? There is a, you know, there is a plan from the enemy, but we're not unaware of it, amen? But anyway, I got really a bad message back, and he did exactly that. He called evil good and good evil. Comparing, you know, saying that us Christians are the ones that are evil and dogmatic and hateful. You know, we need to hear other people and what they have to say, but you don't have to receive it. You can hear it. You don't have to receive it. Now, when you hear this, you need to read and heed. Read and heed. Amen. But when you hear, you know, it's good that we can listen to anyone, you know, what they have to say. We are hungry for truth. And we'll know what's true and what's not. Amen. When you have the Spirit of God rise in you, you know what's not good. When you have God in you, when the devil tries to bring an artificial thing that's not of Him, you're going to recognize it. Amen. To stay full of God, and that's praying always, and that cassette and the weapons of our warfare, have them all on, and then praying in all occasions for all supplications. Talk to God. He wants to talk to you. That's what relationships are all about, is talking to one another. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, where was I? Now, I'm going to start my message. I'm serious. It's right here. It's called Raise the Standard. You know, mankind has always gone against the things they don't understand or can't control. Man wants to know all there is about God so that he can attempt to control him. They think they are in charge of their own destiny and do not want to answer to anyone but themselves. They do not know the Word or have faith. Jeremiah 23:18. For time purposes, I'm just going to read off these scriptures. Jeremiah 23:18. You're just going to have to get the CD. Amen? But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord or to see or to hear His word? Who has listened and heard His word? You know, people sit in churches a lot, but not every one of them are listening. They're looking. They're looking, but they're not looking for God, and they're not hearing the true word of God. Job 15:8 says, Do you listen in on God's counsel? Do you limit wisdom to yourself? You know, our wisdom is not from ourselves. We have a little bit of wisdom. God is unsearchable. So why does man rely on his own wisdom, thinking that he's going to outsmart God? Or that he can in any way be a god or become a god? It just ain't going to happen. Because there is not enough faith, they have tried to bring God down to their level, or in their pride have vainly tried to raise themselves up to His. You know, as I was saying, God is the standard. And man doesn't like it to be under God. They don't want to be under anybody. But I tell you, we all serve somebody. And it's either the devil or it's God. You either gather or you scatter. You're either living for light or you're living for darkness. There's no gray areas. You know, I play chess and there's only black and white squares. And you have to make the right moves. It's you against the enemy. There's no one else going to make the moves for you. And you do have to move. There's things you have to do or you get taken out of the game. And the lowest pieces on the board, the pawns, are the ones that get rewarded and they get to the other side. Amen? But they all are protecting their king. There's a lot of things in chess that you can witness about, and I have on occasion. And but I don't want to get off on chess because I love it too much. I get lost on that rabbit trail. But there are so many liberals out there, you know, and it's liberals against conservatives, amen? There's cultural Christianity, which is man's way of doing things, and then there's biblical Christianity, which is what we believe in, amen? The way of God, capital T, capital W, the way, amen? The word says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Until you submit to God and experience Him in an intimate way, which is what this walk here with Hungry Hearts is all about, is experiencing God in an intimate way. Until you do that, until you submit to God and experience Him in an intimate way, having His Holy Spirit, you cannot understand Him. You're not going to have discernment. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:16. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I love that scripture. It says, "Let this mind be in you." That's also in Christ Jesus. Some versions say, "Let the attitudes." We need to have the attitudes of Christ. Amen. A lot of them are found in the Beatitudes. But we have the mind of Christ. Romans 8:6 says, "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." This month, on May 25th, this month, there will be a gathering of pastors in Washington, D.C. to attend the Watchman on the Wall. One of the speakers, Dr. Henry Blackaby, says that the pastors are the standard. In the King James passage I'm about to give you, and I disagree. I have put up on this board Isaiah 59:19. I put up the King James and also the NIV. I'll go ahead and read it. You probably can't read it from back there. I have it up on the whiteboard. Isaiah 59:19. I don't know how many of you have the King James Version, but it says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." This is the scripture the man used to say that the Lord's going to lift the standard, which is us. Okay, that sounds really good. That we're the standard. You know, most people, they go, "Hallelujah," you know. But see, we are not the standard. We are the standard bearers. Amen? Christ in us is powerful, but it's about Him. We have to lift Him up. He is the standard. And the banner over, He's the banner over us. That flag I was telling you, that marks the sovereign. Amen? So we are not the standard. Christ is the standard. Hallelujah. But this scripture is kind of, there's a part in it about the enemy that I wanted to point out. It says in this scripture that the enemy shall come in like a flood. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God shall lift up a standard against him. It's talking about the enemy coming in like a flood. But now let's go to the NIV, Isaiah 59:19. And what does it say? "From the west, men will fear the name of the Lord." Okay, first of all, the name of the Lord. That's the thing that the devil, the enemy, is so afraid of, is the name of the Lord. And it's in the first part of both of these scriptures, the name of the Lord. Okay, if we're the standard, and it talks about, you know, the Lord coming against him, then that standard has to be His name. So it's not us, amen? We're not the standard, we're the standard bearers. His name is lifted up. And we're pointing to Him. Amen? But anyway, both of these say, fear the name of the Lord. The devil is scared to death of God. And rightly should he be. Amen. But I wanted to point out something in this. I believe there should be a comma after in. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Because the NIV version of Isaiah 59:19 says, from the west men will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun they shall revere His glory. For He will come in like a pent-up flood. Is not the Spirit of God the wellspring of life in us?
Amen.
That comes out? Amen?
Amen?
The devil ain't got no flood going on.
Come on, tell it.
God's the one. He says right here, for He will come in like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. Is not the Holy Spirit talked about as being the wind of God? You know, it talks about when man being guided by the Spirit of God in ships, you know, that He's the God, the Spirit is moves in breath, you know, but it's God who will bring in a flood. You know, the devil ain't got anything that he can really come against God with, I tell you right now. Everything the devil tries to come against God with is just he tries to copy God. There's a lot of, but he has no imagination. God is all-knowing, all-seeing, omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipresent. And God's the one that comes in like a flood. Amen. The Spirit of God rises up within us. Amen. And that makes us be bearers of the standard. That makes us lift up the name of Christ. And Jesus said in the Word that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. You know, we are not the standard, we're the standard bearers. That's all I wanted to point out. And I believe that, you know, this NIV version is the Bible that everybody in Christendom has agreed is the most overall acceptable version. And if it says that He, meaning Christ, because it talks about from the rising of the sun, they will revere His glory. Okay, they're talking about the Lord there. For He will come in like a pent-up flood. You know, even in the NIV, it has in parentheses what the King James wants to say, that the devil comes in like a flood. No, he don't have enough against God. Amen?
Amen?
I'm not saying change the Word of God. I'm saying this little comma here could have been applied in there, because it's God who has the power. His Spirit is a mighty... You know, I've been to Niagara Falls, and I've listened to the falls coming over and just the noise of it. It's awesome. And I think about God being, you know, the voice of many waters. And it's God that has all the power. And He's the one that comes in. And the devil is so far washed away that it's not even funny. I mean, it's just, I just wanted to point that out. All right. You know, He told us, in Matthew 6:9, God told us how to pray. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, His name always goes before Him. Amen. He's on that banner. His name is above all. So it's God who that moves. He is this pent-up flood, the living waters, God's Spirit in us, rising up out of us, making the enemy flee. John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as the Scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within him. Hallelujah. I love God's living water. I love that I was blessed enough to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and have that pent-up flood in me. Amen. The fire of God. You know, God is often talked about as a consuming fire And he's also, you know, voice of many waters. All the things that he's created, he is Lord over, is he not? Therefore, all the things that are powerful describe who he is. Amen. And we don't realize the power. Gene and I were talking on the way up here. If we knew who we were in Christ, I tell you what, we would be a lot more joyful. I tell you, I believe a lot of times we just don't believe. We need to believe God's word, amen, and tell that mountain to move, and it will move. If you, you know, and it says if you don't, a man who is doubtful is like a man who's out at sea and is blown from every wind of doctrine, you know. And that's not having the latitude and longitude directions of where you want to go. But God set out a plan and a perfect plan for us to follow in the Torah. Amen. And he has a destination to be with him and his kingdom, and he's bringing it. Amen. The trouble is we don't want enough of him. You know, we're doing that book now. What is, Do You Know God? And I tell you, there's a lot in there. I don't want to get off on that. Anyway, the watchman on the wall, gathering in Washington, is a gathering of leaders that I'm sure all love God. And I'm sure they're looking for answers from God for this nation's future. But many of them are deceived to believe that the watchman on the wall found in the prophets of the Old Testament are replaced by the new watchman of the New Testament church today. That's replacement theology. You know, but Gentiles have not replaced Israel, amen? We are all Israel. We are one new man. You can read about that in Ephesians 2. There are anti-Semitic teachings embedded in the theology of seminaries all over this world. We need to pray for eyes to be open to these pastors that are going to this watchman on the wall. As they go, you know, and pray for them, they will be told by Dr. Blackleby that they are the standard raised against the enemy, but we are to raise him. He is a standard. We are only standard bearers. Amen. The middle verse of the Bible kind of divides the two schools of thought. Psalm 118:8 is the middle verse of the Bible. It's not the middle book. It's the middle verse. But if you add all the verses up, Psalm 118:8 is the middle verse of the Bible. I love how God does things. It says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." You know, you either serve mammon or you serve God. You know, it cuts it right down the middle. As I said, there's no, you can't live in the gray area because that's dark, okay? And any dark applied to purity makes it the devil's territory, amen? Because in him there is no darkness. And so you can't live in the gray area. The devil owns the fence, amen? I've straddled the fence myself. And you know what can happen on a fence if you fall. So I'm telling you, it's not a place you want to be. And the devil owns the fence anyway. Amen? Amen. Yahweh God's standard that needs to be raised is the Torah. God is HaTorah, or the standard, the sovereign. Our Hebrew roots from Judah are essential today, for it says in John 4:22, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. The salvation is from the Jews." For salvation is from the Jews. You know, the Torah, law of God, that Judah kept for thousands of years is still in effect. Matthew 5:17. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Amen. The world has not passed away, or I would have nothing to stand on right now. It says, I'm telling you, the world has not passed away, so his law has not passed away. Amen? Right there. Amen. Read Psalm 119, talks about the law. The law cannot be done away with. Amen. Amen. Yeshua did not fulfill the law so that you wouldn't have to. He fulfilled them to show us that with the help of the Spirit, that we too, as flesh man like he was, can also live the covenant of the Torah. Not, you know, not as perfect like he did, but by his grace, he enables us to live it out. And I know this is from the Lord that give me, if you walk it out, he will work it out for us. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Until there is complete surrender to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords from his subjects, You know, a king has subjects. We will try in our own strength and traditions to please God, and that cannot be accomplished. Job 34:9 says, "For he says, it profits a man nothing when he tries to please God." We can only please God by obeying Him. When we obey Him, then He makes us into what He needs us to be. 1 Peter 1:6, where it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Amen. Leviticus 28, "Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy." We're made holy by the Lord. We're not holy. Exodus 31:13, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." Again. John 14:15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Right there. If you love God, you'll be obeying what He says. You know, if we lift up the name of God, then He will draw all men unto Himself. That's found in John 12:32. 1 Corinthians 3:6. "I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase." You know, we plant the seed, you know, the Word of God, and we also can water, use the Spirit, and pray. But it's only God that causes increase, not man's efforts. The mass of humanity today, including believers, has lowered the standard only in their thinking to a place that is out of order. Matthew 6:33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know, God is a God of order. First things first, as I have preached so many times. You know, God could hang a large sign on the earth saying, "Out of order." I thought about that. I was going to make a cartoon of the earth with a big sign on it, "Out of order." And God putting it on there, you know. Out of order. My mind works strange, so don't worry. Just pray for me. Matthew, here's where the U.S. is out of order. Besides judges and politicians changing or ignoring the laws of the land and trying to amend the already established laws of our Constitution and Declaration of Independence set in place by our nation's founding fathers, who, by the way, you know, got them from the Bible, from the Torah, we also do the following 6 items in order. We have abandoned, ignored, or tried to change the law of God found in the first 5 books called the Torah. To be only a New Testament church is to cut off our roots of faith. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. 2 Chronicles 34:21. "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant of Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book." That's all, folks. From Genesis to the back, where the maps are, as Pastor has said. All His words, amen. We believe in the whole Bible. Amen. Malachi 3:7, "Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return?" Okay, so the first thing we did, first item of 6 is we have abandoned, ignored the law of God. Second is we observe holidays and not holy days. Amen. You know, these are the Lord's appointed feasts, the sacred assemblies that, you know, God proclaimed in Leviticus 23. So we have abandoned and ignored the laws of God. We observe holidays and not holy days. We set up our own Sabbath is number 3. You know, Hebrews 4:9 says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." And just look at commandment number 4, folks. Remember, keep holy the Lord's day. So number 3 is set up our own Sabbath. Number 4, we have not embraced the gifts of the Spirit to be manifest in many of the churches today. Proverbs 21:16, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. I've been there. I've been in the assembly of the dead. And, you know, that spirit is alive in us. There should be some action. There should be some excitement. There should be some motion toward doing things that, you know, that there should be a walk, not just a saying, you know. Not. It's all about being a disciple. And being a disciple requires discipline, requires action. Wisdom is proved right by our actions. Amen? And we have not hated sin. Number 5. As I said before in about theology of disagreement, if you claim to love something, you must hate its opposite. The opposite of sin is purity, goodness, righteousness. All these are truth, you know. And there are absolute truths today. They are in Yeshua. Amen. We have not hated sin and therefore have not loved the truth. We better hate sin. If you claim to love God, you will hate sin. I think of so many places in the Bible where conviction has fallen on people and they said, I cannot do that to my God. You know, we need to really have discernment. And when you get to a place that you hate sin, that's when victory starts to come in. Hallelujah. We have not studied the Word of God to show ourselves approved. I know this because only God-fearing people are approved of God and live their life in spirit and truth. They follow a God-fearing lifestyle. They keep the seventh-day Sabbath, which is Saturday. They keep the holy days, observe the dietary laws, and tithe. These are the requirements. You know, all covenants are two-sided. God always does His part, and then He turns around and helps us and enables us to do our part because He knows we love Him. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. If you have a testimony, you had a test. You will be tested. God told us in His Word, in this life you will have troubles or tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 17. We're going to take time to go there. Hallelujah. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. He's an eternal King. He lives forever, always was, always will be. He's invisible. You know, it takes faith to believe in God. You know, what you see is temporal, but what you don't see is eternal. You have to believe, you have to have a vision of things that are not seen yet, but you know in your spirit do exist. We've seen things in the spirit. I've had God take me up in the heavens and show me things. And I've seen and experienced what it feels like to start when it's coming, to see it, the sky starting to open up. And that was awesome. And I can't wait till it really happens. Amen. Unfortunately, I woke up and it wasn't happening. But God is our standard. We need to raise Him up. And if we do that, we will draw people to Him. Amen. We need to shine for Christ. We need to be humble. We need to be a broken and contrite spirit, He will in no way refuse. That's in Psalm 51. So remember to be broken. You know, that's the whole problem. Men today are not broken. And until we know who our God is and really are broken, we will not be able to walk the way we need to. But receive all that He has for you. He gives us all of our weapons of our warfare. He gives us all we need to do good. And we need just to raise the standard, which is the name of this message, above where His, you know, where He will be. You know, His truth will be manifest whether we believe it or not. We want to be a part of it, though, you know. But His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, like the prayer He gave us in the Our Father. His will be done. So there's no escaping that. Amen. But I thank God for this message. I thank God that, you know, that we're seeking His presence. That's what it's all about. Let's go ahead and read about, I have a few more minutes. Let's go ahead and go to Proverbs 4. Because it is so important to have wisdom. This chapter, Proverbs 4, is entitled, Wisdom is Supreme. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning. So do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. Hallelujah. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. I like verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Powerful. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Hallelujah. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk away from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Say, I'm not swerving, I'm serving.
Amen.
I'm not swerving, I'm serving. Hallelujah. 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 Lord just gave me that. I thought I'd give that up. I'm thinking about Him being the standard, the servant branch in the center. And it's all about Him. It's all about Him. Hallelujah. And I am done. Praise the Lord. I gave you a lot of word though, you know. I gave you several scriptures. It's not just one or two scriptures and a rabbit trail about some story. I mean, it's all the Word of God, and it's keeping us alive. And His Spirit keeps us alive. In Him we live and move. That takes action. In Him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. Without Him we're dead, folks. But with Him we have all things. Hallelujah. And I'll end it with that. Amen.